Welcome to the Daily VFN Radio Program, where we're keeping the conversation light. That's L-I-G-H-T light, with your host, Greg Lancaster.
And we're going to talk about three things: peace, power, and purpose. And want to join with me as I was sharing sharing at a particular night about creative for a purpose. Listen up.
I don't know what it is, but it just seems to be rapidly moving. And so you got to have peace. The very first thing, you got to have peace. Listen, if you got purpose and you got power, first of all, peace is that inner peace that you need, that you're calm no matter what. Power is strength. You need to have energy. So often the church has put aside energy. You know, I'm just going to lollydaw my way. No, it takes energy. Ministry is hard. Ministry takes a lot of effort to move in your purpose. It takes sweat. It takes diligence. It takes, and everybody misses the idea, even of ministry, where when they went into the tabernacle and the Levitical priesthood, most of the time we're doing physical things, you know, cutting wood, setting fires, cleaning out the stuff, cutting necks, pulling skin, draining blood. I mean, it was just physical labor, and it wasn't just one area at one time when the glory of God would manifest at that particular point. And some people say, well, just let me know when, you know, Jehovah shows up, his presence is manifested, then I'll come. You know what I'm saying? And so that's why the harvest is plentiful and the workers are what? Few. And so the first thing is peace. You got to have peace before you start your day. This is a daily thing. Don't ever start your day without peace, because it's going to be a basket case. I don't care how defined your purpose is. I don't care how much power you got. If you don't have peace, it's going to be pathetic. Probably by 9 o'clock, you're going to wish you could crawl back in bed and wish it never started. But there's something about peace. What does that mean? That means you got to get with God. He says, give us our daily bread. That's not like the natural bread. That's actually bread of God's presence. Just talking to Him. Communing with God. Meditating on the Word of God. Just meditating. Don't force you. I got to read 7.2 chapters. Just read a word and meditate on it. Listen to what God's saying. Take the pressure off. That's religious work. And then He says in Hebrews 4.14, He says, we are to approach Him. And if we're praying daily, then we're supposed to approach Him daily with boldness. Every single day we need grace and we need mercy. Well, you know, He says that we can approach God in our time of need in Hebrews 4:14 and 15. Listen, if you're really in tune with your purpose is always bigger than you are, which relates you to the mercy and grace of God. Somebody asked me, says, how in the world could you ever jump out of a plane at 10,000 feet? You don't understand. Everything I do in ministry is just like that. It's not a big deal. It's exactly what it feels like. Every time I say to a city that this is about to happen, you got to understand, it's only a spoken word. Nothing's manifested yet. Our budget was always zero every time we say that. You know what I'm saying? Everybody's not running up to you and saying, let's go for it. It literally is just like that to me. And if you want to begin to move in your purpose, you're going to have peace no matter what you face. No matter what you face. And aren't you so tired of fear holding you back? Still in your peace? All the enemy's got to do is just stir a little fire up in your life, and next thing you know, you're pacing the floor, biting your fingernails and your toenails and calling somebody else to bite theirs because you ain't got nothing left. I'm telling you, it's just time. You know, it really is so sad, because when you read about the vision of Rick Joyner in the book Final Quest, which is part 3 is out now, I understand. And he said it just took a couple soldiers of fear, demonic soldiers of fear, to hold back thousands of believers. And when you're on the front lines, we were talking today about Elijah and how, you know, Elijah said, I'm the only prophet, but he said he had 300 of them, 150 put in this cave and 150 put in that cave. But the truth was, they was in a cave. I'm with you, brother. Yeah, but you're not out here fighting with me. You're not on the front line. You know what I mean? So he was alone. They was in a cave. And so when you start stepping out in your purpose, because it's bigger than you, it will feel like you're jumping out of a plane, skydiving at 10,000 feet every single time. Every day, every decision, everything that you make, because it doesn't make any sense in your own mind what you're doing. It's totally illogical. If you thought about it for a second, you'd quit. But you got to have peace to do that. Aren't you tired of fear? I got a message just some time back that I talked about fear. Yeah, I'm just tired of it. I'm tired of it just grabbing believers. I'm tired of it even whispering in my ear. I'm just tired of it. It's time for us to believe. It's all it is. If fear is the opposite of faith. Oh, I don't have any fear. I just dread. Dread is the definition of fear. That is fear. Dreading tomorrow, regretting yesterday. That's just living in constant fear. If you have that inner peace, I'm telling you how to fulfill your destiny, your purpose in life. If you have that inner peace, you'll do anything. It doesn't matter. Because nothing on the outside is going to change you. It just is not going to change you. You're not worried about man's opinion or anything. You're just doing because God's called you to do something. Actually, so every single day, the first thing you have to do is a building block for that day. Before you start anything, people said, you know, read a couple scriptures before you start your day. No, I'm telling you this. You stay with God till you get peace. Because you're going to need peace for your purpose. Or you can go out, what most people do, and be like a shotgun shooting off anywhere with no aim at all. Now, if you'll spend your time aiming, you may get one or two shots off that day, but you're going to hit your target. Most people just shoot anywhere. Aren't you tired of all that? I get around people that are so hectic, like, oh, it's like, I got to go, that spirit, I got to go. That hecticness, you know, that real... I can feel it. It's like almost like a vibrating, you know, whatever. I don't know. It's like, get peace in your life. You got to have peace in your life. Amen? So the very first thing on your foundation, this is very simple, very important, that somebody says, well, how long do you spend with God? Until you get peace. Until you get peace. But listen, if you show up to work with attitude like that, you ain't going to have work. But my job, you ain't going to have a job if you show up with that kind of spirit on you. You need to get with God and change your mindsets and realize that you got God's with you no matter what happens out there. Well, I got to go spend some time with my family. Listen, your family probably don't want to even see you until you get some peace in your life. I'm telling you, it's amazing. If you'll just get peace in your life before you go spend time with your family, that's one of your purposes in your life, then it's amazing how they enjoy being with you. So the very first thing is that before you start your day, get peace. Get that inner peace, that settling, that calmness in your spirit. Because the second you step out of that, wherever you are, something's going to hit you, bam, like that. The second thing you got to have is power. I've never seen it so unemphasized in the church before. People say, well, you know, exercise profited very little. But let me tell you something. When you're out there and you're working hard in your purpose, maybe you're a business person or in the ministry, it takes physical exertion to bring that thing to pass. I mean, it takes a tenacity and a willingness to be able to sit there or stand there or whatever it is. It just takes a lot of energy, physical exertion to be able to do that. And there's nothing like physical stress on the body in regards to the anointing. When the anointing drops on you, it's like your body, the Lord just takes over your body, and it just, so my body doesn't normally do this. So when the anointing goes, if you're not physically fit for that anointing, it could crush you. Many people feel when they get tired, they get weak or get sick, they just stop moving in their purpose or their ministry. Yet the Word of God says to worship God with all of our strength. All of our strength. Everybody said it takes energy. 2 Kings 19:3 says, this is what Hezekiah says, this day is a day of distress and rebuke and disgrace, as when children come to the point of birth and there's no strength to deliver them. There's no strength to deliver them. So often, because people misunderstood that you have, God uses clay vessels, energy, our muscles, our strength, our ability to do things, that some people stay up to 3 o'clock in the morning doing just whatever instead of sitting there getting some rest in their body. They don't invest anything in their body to be able to strengthen it, make it stronger. God will call you to do things that your body just can't handle unless you strengthen it. And it literally is almost like a hammer beating your body every single day if you don't build something up in your body. Does that make sense? You know, we sit there and we can eat 10,000 sweets and 10,000 salty products and all these different things like that. And all of a sudden, we pay the consequences physically for doing that. We pay the consequences for doing that. And so you have to prepare yourself. I know that if I'm going to go minister somewhere, I'll watch what I eat before I minister because it will take me down. That'll just drop off like a dead rock almost, some of the things that you could eat. Deuteronomy 31:6 says, be strong. Everybody say that. Isn't that interesting? He said, be strong. Not just be courageous, but be strong. What does that mean? That means it's going to take some energy to do the will of God. It's going to take some strength. You know, we need to get a mindset again. And I'm getting this mindset myself. I'm saying, Lord, I've got to do something with my body. If I'm going to do what you've called me to do, something's got to happen with my body. I've got to get stronger. I begin to focus on that. It's got to be one of my foundational things in my life that's going to bring to pass the destiny of God in my life. So often, you know, from a Pentecostal standpoint or charismatic standpoint, we just think God's going to drop something in our lap. Listen, it would kill us if he drops it in some of our laps. Oh, I'm worn out. What'd you do? I sat in that chair all day long. My back's killing me. We got to have strength. And then what's that mean? If you're fixing to go to boot camp, let me tell you what I did. When I was fixing to go to boot camp in the military, I started rehearsing things. You know what I'm saying? I started, I'm going to run a little bit, cut my hair a little bit shorter, at least trying to fit in a little bit, you know. Well, if you believe that God's about to do something in your life and you believe he's using you, you believe you got destiny and purpose, you're going to begin to prepare yourself. You really are. It's amazing. You know, some people, they don't prepare their bodies. You could pray for 10 more people, but you couldn't pray for those 10 because you were physically worn out by the time you got there. It takes strength to move in your purpose. Yeah, the Word of God says the Lord is our strength. The Lord is the strength of his people, but he gives us wisdom to be able to maintain it. It makes a difference. The older you get, you realize that it does matter what you eat. Lord, I can eat the wrong thing when I knock somebody's head off. That's not a good thing. I don't eat salt meat anymore. That's not a good thing at all. I was sitting there, ate at a men's breakfast years ago, and it was just wonderful. Oscar's restaurant had this wonderful piece of fried salt meat. I was like, oh, this is so good. Then it started going to the pores of my body and the nervous system, thinking, I think I was possessed. Okay, I'm going to kill somebody. I just feel this. And I think, my goodness. It made a difference what I was putting into my body. I had to make a choice. Am I going to put that in my body? Because it's going to stop my ability to bear fruit, to be able to do what I'm called to do. And everybody at the table agreed that I shouldn't do that anymore. What? The Word of God tells us in Luke 10:27, it says, love the Lord your God with all of your strength. With all of your strength. Listen, there's some big purposes that are in your life, and the enemy's stealing them because you're not focusing on these first two things I'm talking about, getting some peace in your life and refusing to step outside that prayer closet or that room that you're all by yourself until you step out, that you refuse to step out until you get that peace in your life, and realizing it's going to take some power, not just Holy Ghost power. It's going to take some power from your biceps, your triceps, your back muscles, your brain, all that stuff. It's going to take some of that to do it. I don't know why God uses these vessels, but he does. The powerful move of God was stopped. The Welsh revivalists. The move of God was stopped because he didn't get any rest for his body. He just stayed up all the time, just constantly stayed up. And the enemy stopped that revival. What's that mean? It means turn off the TV like around 4 in the morning at least. No. It might mean just cut some cable off of it. If that was drawing you constantly to the just keeping you awake, keeping you awake, keeping you awake, cut that stuff out. You'd be surprised how much time you have when you don't have that. Nehemiah 8:10 lets us know that the joy of the Lord is our strength. If you want some strength in your life, you've got to bring some joy in your life. If all your time you're just sitting back and you're always serious and you're not, you know, I love to laugh. Laughter to me is just, I just love to laugh. I love to laugh loud, I love to laugh long, I just love it. And everybody else don't love that, but I love that. But it gives you strength. I remember this one particular lady that came to the revival at Brownsville years ago when it first started. She came to make in front of the revival. And of course, everybody made in front of her when she fell on the floor and started rolling. Anyway, and God touched her. When God started to touch her, she was sitting on the floor and she was kind of heavy, real heavy. And she began to laugh and laugh and laugh and laugh and laugh. And the more she got prayed for, the more she laughed. And this is not something she wanted to do. She was coming to make fun of the manifestations of God. And she was the biggest manifestation there. And then afterwards, she was testifying that I just needed strength in my body. I needed strength. I needed energy. I was so under attack with those things that make you, they got all kinds of names for it. She just sat there and laughed for hours. And just strength just came into her body. Look to your neighbor and say, laugh a little bit more. Laugh a lot. I mean, laugh. If you hadn't laughed in a long time, you don't have much strength. There's nothing like laughing, is there? Nah, everything was said, amen. That's right. You need to laugh a little bit when you're a little too serious. What does that mean? That means if you believe that there's, if you really believe what God says, that you've been predestined and you have a purpose in your life and there's a destiny in your life and you're actually training up for something, that you're going to get peace in your life because He's the one that's leading you into this destiny. And the second thing you're going to do, you're going to get some strength and some energy and quit thinking that God's going to drop it in your lap. It matters what you're eating. It matters what you're doing. If you're not doing anything physically at all, your body is going to steal your destiny from you. I don't know, right? I'm serious. We've got to, every one of us, we've got to begin to focus on that. Because I want to go all the way. I want to be able to say, Greg and his generation fulfilled the purposes of God. I want to be able to say to the Lord, God, I brought glory. Father, I brought glory to you on earth because I completed all that you called me to do. It's so much easier to get that peace when you realize it's not for you, it's for your destiny. Because your destiny with God will have to do with affecting other people, not with yourself. And then it's so much easier to do something to get power in your life, to get energy, to not fall short of being able to push that baby out at the last moment when you realize you're not trying to get energy and do some sort of exercise or something just for you so you can look better. You're doing it because you want strength. You want to be able to pray for those 10 more people. You want to be able to go one more city, one more nation, one more thing. It changes your whole perspective. And the final part is purpose. If you were cornered right now and somebody had a gun at your head, could you even quote your purpose? Do you even know why you're here? Do you even know why you're here? Think about it. How are we ever going to get to the place we're supposed to be? We don't even know where we're going. Oh, yeah, you're busy, but like I said, if you had a gun at your head, could you even tell them where you were going, what you were doing? I'm trying to find myself. There you are, right there. If you're looking for something to live for, you first have to have something to die for. You're not ready to live until you're ready to die. You're not ready to live for anything until you're ready to die for something. I'm telling you, there's nothing that you're going to die for other than the purposes of God in your life. And there's nothing like it. You know, all these little artificial frilly things they have out there to be able to give people that little feeling. There's nothing like trusting God. You feel that all the time when you're stepping out in bold faith. John G. Lake was told this on the ship. He's about to step out in Africa. He says, the guy walks up, he had no money. The guy gives him some money. He says, listen, if God has told you to do something, step out in bold faith and God will meet you there every single time. Not bold reasoning. Bold faith, confidence in God. Ephesians 2:10 says, for we are God's workmanship, created in Christ Jesus to do good works, which He prepared in advance for us to do. Listen, before your feet even touched the ground, God had a purpose in mind for you. He had a destiny in mind for you. And He says, few people enter into the kingdom of God. Few people enter into that destiny, even though it's there, because they don't have this wisdom that I'm telling you about. They don't realize it's going to take some physical effort. It's going to take some endurance. It's going to take, when you don't feel like it, you still do it. When everything is coming in to steal your focus, you're writing it on the wall, you're writing it on a piece of paper, you're talking it so that people, when they know you by your purpose. In case you forget, they can tell you who you are. You want to be known by your purpose, your destiny. So He says before your feet even touch the ground that God was had your purpose and your destiny in mind for you. That's exciting. You know what? He's no favorite of persons. He will do that for anybody. He'll say, are you ready for your purpose to come out? Are you ready to move into your destiny? Begin to believe me. Begin to step out. 2 Samuel 7:3, Nehemiah tells King David, he says, go, do all that's in your heart, for the Lord is with you. When the Lord is with you, you just crank it up. Just let it rip. You don't need to consult with anybody. I mean, it's just in your heart. It's in your heart to do. When the Lord is with you, and it lines up with the Word of God, and you know you're not deceived, because you can just look at the Word of God and find if you're deceived. If it doesn't line up with the Word of God, you're wrong. Simple. It's not hard. You don't need a meeting with a pastor. If it says left and you're going right, you're wrong. Look at this. He said, do all that's in your heart to do because the Lord is with you. Listen, if the Lord is with you, let it rip. Just let it rip. Think about it. If like four people went out and went hog wild doing what God called them to do. Mother Teresa did. They still talking about her today. Right? Benny Hinn did. Catherine Kuhlman did. Oral Roberts did. A.A. Allen did. John Kilpatrick did. Are you just going to read about them? Or are you going to be somebody that steps out in your purpose? I don't know what to do. Listen, it's in your heart to do it. You keep looking for something else, but that thing you do naturally, as you begin to do it, it will begin to produce even more. And when you're found faithful in the little things, the few things, God will give you more things. It just grows and it just builds. Literally, I can tell you, and Pat can testify to it as we go out, every single step that we do things, there's a wall there. There's always a wall there. It's way beyond our intellect. It's way beyond our ability. But every time we just go to that wall and go boom, 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 it just busts through. Oh, you're just good at that. No, I just run into walls and trust God. Pastor John Kilpatrick will tell you, he bumped into the presence of God. It was by accident as he walked to the back of the church one night by himself and he was praying. He just bumped into the Holy Spirit. Why? He was just faithfully doing what he was called to do. Bam! It just happened. I don't know if I should trust my heart. Listen, Proverbs 29:11. Don't worry about it because many are the plans in a man's heart, but it's the Lord's plans that prevail. I don't know. Listen, you're not, you know, I know you feel like you're in control, but you're really not. Jeremiah 29:11. For I know the plans. Everybody say plans. The plans I have for you. What are you doing if you're not moving in the purposes and the destiny? God's got plans in mind for you. He's got all kinds of things in store for you. Listen, he may want to start working miracles and signs and wonders through you. He might want to raise you up to be able to adopt 10 or 20 children. He might want you to be a pastor of a church, an evangelist. He might want you to be a business person that has the ability to franchise 20 or 30 different stores or concepts. He may have to, you know, well, I don't know what it is. But God does, and before your feet hit the ground, he knew what it was. And it's in there, and the fear is keeping you from stepping out in it. But let me tell you something. If you'll start, not with purpose, but you'll start with peace, and you'll get some power, when that purpose is revealed to you, you'll have some peace that you're not fearful about it, and you have some power to be able to fulfill it in your life. He tells us in Habakkuk 2:2-3, he says, listen, he says, write down the vision, write down the purposes, write down the revelation and make it plain on tablets so that you can herald it and you can run with it. Listen, this is how I always am. I'm the same yesterday, today, and forever. I've given you a vision. I've given you a purpose. Begin to write it down. Everywhere you go, if anybody hangs around me at all, you know I write it down. I put it on signs. I write it on TV commercials. I write it on radio commercials. I tell them, no, you cannot have that ad unless you say Malachi 4, 5, and 6 at the end of it. Why? Because that will not return void. I don't care what you said in the beginning of it, but at least put the word out. Everywhere you go, just begin to write your vision. Write your vision. And he says, write it down. Listen, he knows the plans he has for you. Plans to prosper you and not to harm you. Plans to give you hope and a future. What does that mean? Begin to trust that thing God's put inside of you. Begin to write it out and make it plain. He says, for this revelation, this purpose awaits for its appointed time. It speaks to the end and it won't prove false. And it will linger for a little while, but let me tell you something. It'll come to pass if you begin to move in it because it's your destiny. It's your purpose. It's your unique purpose. It's not riding the coattails of somebody else's purpose. You may have a purpose inside of a purpose, that without that your purpose, it wouldn't come to pass. For example, a lung inside of a body has a purpose inside the heart with the other organs in the body. They all work together. We're one body. But without you moving in your function, it wouldn't work. One good example is I always talk to people not plugged into church. They sit there and say, well, you know, I went there and I just didn't know. So I've been out of church for like 90 days or something like that. I said, well, you're looking at it wrong. He said each of us are different parts in the church. We're different parts. And you're just showing up to get something from that church, but he says some are lungs, some are hearts, some are whatever organs, some are eyes. He said, I said, what if you're a foot? I'm not talking about they can get what you can get from them, but what they need from you. Maybe that ministry is walking with one foot because you won't follow the purposes of God in your life. Maybe they're limping along because they're waiting for that foot to arrive. And you say, well, you know, I just need a little bit longer. Maybe you're another lung, and maybe there are difficulties of breathing. It's just really tough. I got a new word. We always look at it from the wrong, you know, what can I get from this? But sometimes it's like, God, what do you want for me to be here? I have something inside of me that I need to deposit in what you're doing to fulfill your purposes in this life, in my life, the destiny that you have for me and have for what you're doing. And what we do when we begin to enter into that purpose and that destiny with the peace and the power to fulfill it, listen right here. In Colossians 3:23, he says, whatever you do, work it with all your heart as working unto the Lord. What does that mean? That means don't second guess it. Go take another class. Think about it a little bit more. Oh, I don't know. I don't know. Listen, the Holy Spirit seems so confused compared to a lot of believers when they say, you know, he's always getting a new word. I know he gave me this word yesterday, but I got another one. Oh, Lord, are you that upset? That confused? No, he's not confused. God's not confused. God says it. He means it. He doesn't change his mind. Isn't that cool? God's not a man that he would lie, or the son of man that he would what? Change his mind. And so when you find that purpose, what God has put inside of you, begin to work it. Work it with all of your heart, with all of your strength, working unto the Lord, not unto men, since you know that you will receive an inheritance from the Lord as a reward. Isn't that awesome? A great reward from God. Not from man. Men won't reward you. Men will shoot you down. If you start moving in your destiny, people just line up and say, oh, by the way, I hate you. I don't like you. I'm leaving you. It's over. Bang. Boosh, all that kind of stuff. But your reward from God is awesome. If you're looking to man to give you a reward, you know, it just don't work. But God, he says, listen, he said, Hebrews 11:6, he says, God rewards those who diligently seek him, who diligently begin to seek their destiny and move in their purposes in God. Peace, power, and purpose will propel you into your destiny. You don't leave that place until you get peace. I don't care what they say, because they'll be beating on your doors trying to come in there. But listen, they don't want you without peace anyway. They don't. Get your peace. Begin to do something. I don't care if it's like you get up in the morning and you do some neat bins. I mean, I don't care what it is. Just something that you're actually showing some effort towards God, and God will supernaturally touch your body and begin to give you strength. I don't care what it is. I don't care if it's just something that you're saying, God, I want strength for the purposes in my life. I want some energy in my life. I want some endurance in my life. God, I don't want to miss out on praying for 10 more people just because I did whatever or didn't do whatever. And it will propel you into your destiny. What does that mean? That means you start every single day on purpose. Not by accident or because it's Monday and I got to start it. No, you start it on purpose. That means when you sit down and you begin to define your day because you've already got your peace, you've already done something in your life to be able to give you some strength, you don't leave that place, that planning place, till you begin to make your plan and make it plain, right? Write your vision, make it plain. Write it on paper so you can herald it. If you can't say where you're going, nobody else can either. If you call yourself a leader and nobody's following, you're just merely taking a walk. So that means when you start that Monday, when you walk out of that planning area, when you sat down and you took some notes, maybe you have a planner and you wrote some things in your planner, you know where you're going that day. You know what you're going to accomplish. And you're going to find out what matters most in your life, and that's what you're going to do that day. But let me tell you something. If you jump out of your bed, you throw your clothes on, and you run out of that house without peace, without power, without purpose, you're a devil's puppet. He's going to have a heyday on you, and he might even use you to have a heyday on somebody else. But because you have your peace, and because you have your power, and because you know your purpose, your peace and your power propel you into your destiny. That's That's how simple it is. It's that simple. Listen, if you start your day without peace, but you did something physically for power and purpose, I don't care what you accomplish in life. If you ain't got peace, it's miserable. It's just miserable. It really is. But if you got your peace, but you don't have power, but you know your purpose, you're miserable. You're just worn out. You're looking at this awesome goal at the end of this rainbow, and you don't have a physical enough strength to birth that baby and bring that ministry or that business out. You're just worn slap out. And if you have peace and you have power, which a lot of believers have that, but they're doing nothing with their life. They don't have any purpose, no vision. And I heard, without vision, you die. That's what it says. The Word of God says, without vision, you perish. But somehow we take that out. He says, you die without vision. The church doesn't have vision. Their vision is like a Sunday school class, or their vision is just another lesson, another thing to be taught. But God's vision is to literally to conquer the enemy's kingdom and to take it by force and to begin to free people from the grave and begin to wake up sleeping, sluggard, slothful men that the enemy has literally hampered and pulled them out of the places of the home because they're with the strong men that the enemy's trying to bind to rob that entire household. That's what God wants to do, stuff like that. Without vision, you die. Even with peace, even with power, you can be looking like Hercules, and you can die because you don't even know where you're going. There's an awesome book out right now called The Purpose-Driven Life by Rick Warren. I encourage you to get the book and begin to read that over a 40-day period. It begins to every day has a little bit of reading for every single day. It's just little short readings. By the end of that 40-day period, it probably changed your life. You have a purpose. You have a destiny. And what an awesome thing, if everybody even listening to this, that you would take this and say, listen, stop it. Knock it off. Quit it. Stop doing all these excuses and justifications for not moving and what God has called you to do. And begin to believe God. Listen, whatever you're doing is what you're believing. Whatever you're doing is what you're believing. Say that. Whatever you're doing is what you're believing. James said that. He said, faith without works is dead. Whatever you're doing is what you're believing. If you want to find out what you believe, look what you've been doing. If you believe that your job is it, that's what you're doing. That's it. I got to go to work. Well, that's what you believe. You believe that your job is it. And it might be it for you. Whatever you're doing is what you're believing. Do you know what? If you'll just believe God, fulfilling that destiny, that purpose in your life, you'd be surprised what would happen. I mean, this is exciting stuff. It really is. Imagine starting your every day on purpose. Every day, you started on purpose. Every week, you started on purpose. Listen, our entire life is summed up by two simple dates on a tombstone, the day you're born, the day you die. Everything happens in between that. David knew what it took to fulfill the purposes of God and his generation during that timeline. Most people don't. Most people just justify why we're not going to. But I want to be one that says, God, I've completed the work that you give me. I've completed the work. I fulfilled the call. I don't care. I mean, the calls are huge, by the way. They're very huge. But it doesn't matter anymore. When you got the peace, it just doesn't matter anymore. You're doing it for the Father.
You're listening to VFN Radio. Don't forget, you can locate us at vfntv.com. We'll be right back.
Can teachers lawfully promote a particular religion in public school? This is Law and Justice with Jay Sekulow.
You know, I'm concerned about the powers that be when they say that we can't talk about Jesus in the schools. How come the Constitution uses the expression in the year of our Lord and we're denied that ability? Teachers themselves should be able to promote Jesus in the schools because of the Constitution.
You know, the Supreme Court has drawn a distinction between the kind of what we would call state action, which is the teacher speaking, versus the students. The students clearly have the right to have Bible studies, prayer meetings, share their faith, evangelize, the events like See You at the Poll. That can take place without any constitutional problem. The difficulty is for teachers. The teacher is deemed under existing Supreme Court law to be the actor of the state. They cannot evangelize, or what they call proselytize, their faith without running afoul of the Constitution.
Stand with us and join the American Center for Law and Justice at aclj.org.
That's ACLJ.org.
Chris, isn't abiding, spending time with the Lord, just an awesome thing?
Oh, it definitely is. And that, you know, abiding is something that's just totally changed my life. You know, there was a point in time that I didn't even think that I could hear from God. I didn't know that I could spend time with God and hear from Him. And it's just amazing. And I can't tell you how many times that through abiding that God spoke to me something that morning that I needed that day. That was something that came up that God spoke to me and to be able to encourage somebody else, or it was to help me through a particular situation that I was, you know, that God knew that I was going to run into that day.
It's like a chain link event where God gives you a rhema word for that, a living, active, breathing word that it blesses you.
Exactly.
But it blesses another person. Yes. Another person. It's living and
active. Oh, yeah. Yes. And it's just, you know, it just continues. It just keeps going and going, you know.
It's exciting, isn't
it? It's very exciting.
We can do this for the rest of our lives.
Yes, the rest of our lives. And it's just, you know, to be able to commune with the creator of the universe. You know, and he speaks to you, and he speaks to you clearly,
right.
And he speaks to you the way that you hear,
right?
You know, because you know we don't all hear the same way, but God knows, you know, how to speak to us, and,
right?
And it's just awesome. It's just it's powerful. You know, it's life changing.
Yeah, when you abide with the Lord, like He talks about in John 15, you know, apart from abiding in Him, we can accomplish nothing. When we do that at the beginning of our day, the day is nothing but amen instead of oh no.
Mm-hmm.
Because God's already spoken to us about our day. Maybe you're thinking, yeah, I want that life. I want to be able to abide with God. Listen, we have a simple plan available for you right now. It's free. All you have to do is go to iabide.org. That's iabide.org and request your free plan today. Listen, you're called. And by the way, you can't do anything outside of abiding with the Lord. That's iabide.org.
That's right, we have another way how you can stay connected with VFN Radio. It's called the Torch Newsletter. Every week, the Torch Newsletter goes out, and in the newsletter, you're going to get the best of the best of VFN Radio for that week. You're also going to get all the VFN Radio highlights emailed directly into your inbox. So whether you want to listen on your phone, whether you get your emails on your tablet, or whether you get it on your home PC, you will have access to that week's VFN Radio highlights. Go to VFNTV.com and select newsletter sign up or text VFNTV at 22828. Again, text VFNTV at 22828 and type in your email address. Sign up for the Torch Newsletter now.
You're listening to VFN Radio, where we're keeping the conversation light. That's L-I-G-H-T, light, with your host, Greg Lancaster.
But I think about, you know, so many people have begun to pray. And as you know, we ourselves launched out in a whole new way when we launched out with VFN TV and the daily radio program to the world, because we are believing for a third great awakening, and that over and over again, when God's word is spoken about and taught and His people respond, He changes the plans that He has in store for a nation and for a people and for a person. But if we don't stand up and sound the alarm, if we don't go out and just begin to tell everybody that we're doing ourselves on VFN Radio and VFN TV, then whatever storm's coming just comes.
Mm-hmm.
It just comes. And so what does that mean? That means that God can tell you that you're going to die.
Mm-hmm.
Then you can respond to God and go, hey, I don't want to die. What do I need to do? Is there something we can work out here? And God says, yeah, obey me. Remember what I told you when these things happen, that you've gone astray, and repent and come back to me. And then you can go, oh, I'm going to do that. I'm going to leave all this religion, all these lies and everything, and I'm going to just humble myself and pray and turn from my wicked ways and seek God's face and let God forgive me and heal me. And God goes, oh, I'm not going to kill you.
All right. Amazing how that works.
Yeah. 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 And people say that's not true, but it's true. You know, somebody says, well, we made it through that. Well, you know, Bobby Joe, who got washed off during the hurricane. His house got crushed. His dad, now he didn't make it.
Right, mm-hmm. right.
I understand you made it in the hurricane, but the people that lost, I know that you made it in the tornado, but in Moore, Oklahoma, but there's other people who didn't make it.
That's right.
I know you made it through the mall shooting, but there's other people who didn't make it through it. You know, it's not all about you. If there's any life lost because of our sin, we should be devastated because of it. Because I mean, if the storm comes because we refuse to repent, then their blood is on our hands.
On our hands, right.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and so we need to relate that and to understand that. But then all of a sudden you hear Dutch Sheets and Chuck Pierce went around to America and began to prophesy over all 50 states. And every state, I believe, are going to be judged individually based off their decisions that they've made over the years. And no state is righteous, not one. But you can humble yourself as a state. And you can humble yourself and say, you know, Jesus is Lord. We're going to go God's way. But as a whole, America, as we talked about in the previous before the break, was about how we were founded because of Israel. I mean, Israel needs somebody to stand with them in this day. God's standing with them. God doesn't have to have America. But why not? Why not continue to stand with Israel? And there's hope. There's hope. God loves Americans. God loves you. God has a plan for your life. But we need to make Jesus the Lord of our life. And so people have begun to respond to the warnings, and they're seeing that the tragedies take place, and people are becoming broken and dissatisfied with religion. And they're asking themselves, what am I doing? Why am I doing what I'm doing? And they're willing to make changes, and there's shifts taking place in so many people's lives who are listening to God. And the insanity is to continue doing what you've been doing, expecting different results. And sad to say, there's a lot of insanity going on.
True.
You know, this is what I'm used to, but it's insane. It's insane. So
doesn't your head hurt? Doesn't
yeah,
hurt?
right. And so a prophetic word was given by Dutch Sheets called Renewed Hope for America. And he talks about staying the course. And stay the course means, hey, if you made Jesus the Lord of your life and you're walking as a disciple and you're doing what he's called you to do, then hold the course. That's why things are turning. And this is what he says. In recent visits to Arkansas, this is Dutch Sheets Ministries. In recent visits to Arkansas and Mississippi, the hunger of the people. Let me read it again. In recent visits to Arkansas and Mississippi, the hunger of the people, the release of revelation and moving of the Holy Spirit far exceeds my expectations. These states are on God's radar. He's going to move there with a spirit of revelation in powerful ways. I had an especially strong sense while I was there, many prodigals were soon to be returning to the Father. God is about to draw them back to himself with an irresistible force. I love that. An irresistible force, which just draws them back in love. I also heard the Holy Spirit say, opposition both from the church and from the world will increase as we break out of normal. As we break out of normal. I love that.
Mm. Yeah.
Religious spirits will insist on maintaining old structures and systems, and the kingdom of darkness will react aggressively to the spirit of revival. Don't be alarmed at this, he says. Stay the course and resist the demonic pressure. Think about it. Stay the course and resist the demonic pressure. The first step in resisting the enemy is being aware of his tactics. God's people, this is me adding, God's people are destroyed for a lack of knowledge.
Mm-hmm.
And so we need to be aware and be proactive in our response to what's going on. That's the next thing he says. Offensively resist his plans. In other words, prepare for his ignorance because he will repeat it.
Right.
He goes on to say, and the Lord also said, strategies will begin to change from congregation, ministries, and even businesses. Just as the strategy of the Lord for John the Baptist changed when Jesus began his ministry, Holy Spirit is about to speak new plans, ideas, activities, and methods to those who are listening. Change is in the air. Listen carefully for his instructions concerning your ministry and your business. This is so important. I mean, we're seeing the very thing. We're seeing significant shifting and change take place because insanity is continue doing what you've been doing, expecting different results.
Mm-hmm.
Finally, he goes on to say, I heard him say, the intercessors are weary. And we're going to be talking about becoming weary and well-doing. The intercessors are weary. Breakthroughs are hanging from heaven, waiting for those who will receive a second wind and lay hold. Think about that. The long season of praying for revival and outpouring has caused many to grow weary. Some have lost heart. Others are simply tired and listless. We must pray for them. And each of us must stir ourselves into renewed intercession, encourage ourselves in the Lord, and receive renewed strength. Let God's wind blow on you and lay hold to his promises. He has promised and he will bring it to pass. I recognize that the mandate upon my life, he goes on to say, this is Dutch Sheets, I'm reading from his prophetic word. I realize that the mandate upon my life in this season is to restore hope to America. And that's so exciting because, you know, the direction America was going prior to these dilemmas hitting was not good, but these dilemmas are causing us to humble ourselves and to begin to seek the Lord. That was me adding that to that. So I recognize, this is him, I recognize that the mandate upon my life in this season is to restore hope to America and be a voice of awakening and reformation. The fear of the Lord compels me to carry out this mandate with steadfast determination. The Lord is so kind to continuously make it undeniably clear that this race I am running is one that he has clearly marked out for me, and the message I am preaching is precisely what is on God's heart for America at this time. The past few weeks have been extremely encouraging. I met with a group of pastors in Louisiana last month whom, like many, are tired of business as usual. That's the insanity thing I was referring to.
Right.
They are tired with all the lack of fruit. They're tired of competing with one another for members and tired of losing the culture war for the souls of our nation. But they are also full of faith. This faith is motivating them to pray, really pray, and seek God together with a burning desire to tear down walls that divide and debilitate us. They're holding joint services, and he puts in parentheses, on Sunday, dreaming together and making plans to impact their region with revival and reformation. These church leaders are serious about being the ecclesia, which is the church government. Therefore, I ministered in Canfield, Ohio, and Beaumont, Texas, where we experienced powerful moves of God. Many leaders were present in each other's gatherings, crying out for God to bring awakening and reformation to America. These stirrings and the desperation of leaders is encouraging. They are great signs of the kind of hunger needed to generate revival. While in Ohio, I received one of the strongest and most encouraging words I've been given in a long time. After hearing me teach on the awakening and the reformation, noted author and teacher Dr. Miles Monroe grabbed me literally and said, "I now have hope for America." He went on to say over and over, "You're right. Don't let anyone tell you otherwise." Then he said to me, "You are a reformer. Take it to the nation. You'll be called to Washington, to the state capitals, and to cities. They will seek your counsel and wisdom. You are called to reform the nation." I mean, think about it. It was pretty awesome, isn't it?
Mm-hmm. Wow.
"I feel this word burning in my spirit," he goes on to say. "I am thinking and praying and processing through this prophetic word that came from Miles Monroe. I believe God has told me a new season of great favor is coming. Many doors will open into new areas and new arenas that will bring expanded influence and fruit. I feel this is a word for all of us. The challenges of our era will be met by incredible grace and power. Position yourself now to receive this. Spiritual promotions are being prepared now for many. Move upward into yours." And he goes on to say, "I want to help you see what God has already done in cities across America as the spirit of awakening sweeps across the nations. The unexpected and in the least likely places." In other words, God's beginning to move in the least likely places. "As I travel from week to week, I am seeing an increasing presence of the Lord as remnants of believers pursue God with great intensity. I am witnessing miraculous healings, deliverances, and profound prophetic revelation, even to the unsaved." Sounds like Acts chapter 2. "There are major shifts in strategy taking place within the body, and provision and favor is coming from unexpected sources. And we've seen that over and over again, haven't we?
Oh, yeah. Mm-hmm.
With great joy, I am also seeing the prodigals return home.
Praise God.
Isn't that awesome?
Amen.
This is Dutch Sheets with Dutch Sheets Ministry. And I just thought it would be encouraging to hear a hopeful word, you know, for America. And it's about holding the course. Holding the course. And realizing that, you know, pursuing God, going after God and abiding with Him and obeying Him is what will see great move of God, a great awakening take place. Mm-hmm. And you think about the first great awakening and the second great awakening, the things they have in common is awakening.
Yeah. Yes.
The important part.
You know, awake, O sleeper, awake. The church, God's people, you know, fall asleep. What we're talking about and what we're seeing is, and that's what he's talking about in this word, and we were talking about in the first hour, is that he's beginning to see signs of the awakening taking place as he's saying, listen, there's hope for America. And we move God. What moves God is faith. You know, we can focus on the storm and say, oh, I've been bad, I've been terrible, you know, and all of a sudden, you know, be idolatrous in our responses. Or we can say, God, forgive me, I've sinned against you, let God restore you, repent, you know, live a life of repentance, but then move on.
Mm-hmm.
Move on and begin to obey God and begin to speak out what he wants to do. Because he said, if my people who are called by my name will humble themselves and pray and turn from their wicked ways, then he'll hear from heaven and heal our land. He'll heal America. And we're starting to see this. We've seen it within ourselves, and we're positioning ourselves so that we can share with you the things that God has done amongst us so he can do it with you. And like Dutch is seeing it across America. These are exciting days. It's going to be the best of times, and it's going to be the worst of times. But understand this, that we can get on the right side of history by joining in with what God is doing in the earth.
Yes, exciting times and best of times. And the main thing here is to stay focused, stay on course. So many times things are happening and people get another idea or another vision and they start turning the ship, turning what God's told them to do.
Mm-hmm.
Listen, God's encouraging us, stay faithful, stay true to what the Lord has already told us, continue to draw others to him and stand for the truth. Stay the course.
You're listening to VFN Radio. Don't forget, you can locate us at VFNTV.com. We'll be right back.
We're going to be releasing this week on VFN TV, This Generation. Go to VFN TV. Go to VFNTV.com. This is VFN Radio you're listening to. Go to VFNTV.com and go to VFN TV in your menu, and you'll see a prophetic teaching about this generation. It's called This Generation. And it's time for us to wake up and respond. And it's going to encourage you because it's going to give you a perspective that if not, the things that we won't give up now, God will have taken away from us.
Mm-hmm.
He'll look, and there's raiders coming in as we speak, trying to raid the coffers, the government, the taxes, the freedoms, the Constitution, all these different things. But understand that God is allowing that. He's not doing it. He's allowing it to take place. It's his permissive will because of the choices that we've made. And he's intentionally allowing it. It's intentional. There's always somebody that wants to raid you.
Mm-hmm.
But he's keeping them back. And then, you know, if we don't respond, it just escalates and gets worse in regards to that. Even being sold as a slave to your enemy. You know, slavery didn't start in America. Slavery's been around since day one. Even Jesus said, you know, as Christians, you know, slaves obey your masters as unto the Lord. If you can get your freedom, get your freedom. So in the context of that, it was just an everyday conversation then. Mm-hmm. I don't want to be sold to my enemy. You know what I'm saying?
Right.
I don't want to be sold to my enemy, but I can't be in rebellion to God and think that the end's going to be good. You know, and it may happen on an individual basis. You got to listen to this. Listen to it. It's called This Generation. And what it is you have a pagan generation. But it's not unusual for a generation who has not yet received or didn't receive the gospel being transferred to their generation to be paganistic. But there's hope. There is hope. And God has a way to do that. Go to VFNTV.com and choose VFNTV on the menu and look for This Generation and begin to listen to it now and share it with your friends. It's a prophetic word for this day and this time. VFN Dream Center. You think about it. There was a day that that God gave Joseph a dream, and he began to share it, and of course, et cetera, et cetera, abuse and things that were going on. But understand this, there came a day when suddenly he began to speak and the dream came to pass. And I just want to encourage you right now. I want to welcome you to the dream. I want to welcome you to the VFN Dream Center, because the Lord is setting up cities. He's setting up hubs, apostolic hubs. He's setting up, church is not going to even be recognized in the future where we're going, because we're about to be the church of the Bible under the God of the Bible, under the direction of our Lord Jesus Christ. And if you want to be a part of what God is doing in the earth, to rise up, to bless what presently is, but let go of that to be able to move into what God is going to do, to dive into what God and be a part of it, maybe the VFN Dream Center is for you. Maybe the VFN Dream Center for you. You can find out more at vinefellowshipnetwork.org. You can join us on the Emerald Coast if you're local, or you can join us online and be one of our virtual members that join us on VFN TV by going to vinefellowshipnetwork.org every Sunday at 10:30 a.m. or approximately, live on VFN Radio. Find out more at vinefellowshipnetwork.org. Well, we're coming to the end of the first hour. We had such a wonderful time. Don't forget to catch us in the extra hour beginning in just a moment. For those that are leaving us, you can catch us at vfntv.com or catch the second half, the extra hour, on your mobile device, your iPhone, your Android, and all those wonderful places at vfntv.com. You're listening to VFN Radio. For those who are sticking with us, we'll see you on the other side. You know, I want to encourage you, as you're listening to VFN Radio every day, you know, we're 24-7, we're 24 hours a day, 7 days a week. We're live 9 a.m. to 11 a.m. Central, but we're 24-7, anytime, any time zone, all the way from Okinawa, Japan to San Diego, California. You know what I'm saying? You can come on to VFNTV.com or download our app and listen live. But we also have highlights. We actually have an entire two-hour broadcast broken up into certain segments that you can, something, you know, it just may be on your heart or on your, you wanted to hear that one thing. It's all you have time for. It's all you wanted to hear. And that's why we do that. And you can go right to that on the VFN Torch at vfntv.com and click on the torch, or you can go to your app and just kind of thumb through the names of the highlights and listen to that one segment. But that's all for you. We want to deliver everything that we're called to deliver to you in any way that we can that helps you meet your need at that time. Sometimes you can't, you just don't have time to get it this way. You have to get it that way. And sometimes you don't have time to get it that way. You get it this way. So don't forget, you can go to vfntv.com. You can go to vfntv.com and it's there for you. John, do you know the VFN TV app is out, right? I think it's 4.0, man.
4.0.
That is so cool. And they're doing a wonderful job at designing it and putting it together. And everything that we're saying and doing is available now on the VFN TV app. All you got to do is go to your app store, type in VVictor, VFN TV, and it just shows up. Or you can go to VFNTV.com and click on the appropriate store, whichever one you actually have your phone with. But it's so important. You can listen to highlights. You can listen to the programs. You can listen to us live. We're live 24-7, 7 days a week. And some encouraging words, some any prophetic words that are coming out, you know, God's news behind the news. It's not enough to know the news. You need to know what to do with the news you know. Listen, get the app. It's totally free, by the way. Go to your app store and find it today. Just type in VFN TV. It'll pop up. Download it for free or go to VFNTV.com.
Pat, you know the great thing about all of our VFN Radio listeners is that so many of them are connecting to us on Facebook. You know, we have a Facebook page. You may be listening today. You may not be aware, but we do. And you can go to facebook.com/VFNTV, or you can go to our VFNTV.com and click Facebook. Be a part. Like us. Tell your friends to like us. We're creating a virtual stadium where everyone can connect and be a part and get fresh updates on everything that happens that day on the program. Don't forget, go to VFNTV.com and click Facebook.